This morning we're going to be looking at a passage in Galatians chapter 3 that we've been working on a series together around some important questions. And we're going to be looking at the question, where is the basis of our relationship in God found? And to do this, I want you to help me with an exercise, and here's how I'm going to do this. Many of you grew up in an era of school that was even more strict than mine was. How many of you grew up in an era of school where they still paddled? This is going to be helpful. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to split you off into two different groups, and I want you to help me with this. The group that's on this side here and in this center section here, I want you to talk together for a couple of minutes, and I want you to talk about some of the rules that were in place while you were in school. What were some of the rules that were in place when you were in school? This section, the back section, and the balcony, I want you to think about what school rules would look like if you could have made them up yourself. If you could have written your own school rules, what would they have looked like while you were in school, okay? So, we're going to make those lists together in just a minute, but I want you to chat with a couple of people around you, and then I'll take some suggestions from the audience about what rules should be in school or were in school while you were there, and what it would look like if the students wrote the rules. So go ahead and talk for a minute. I'm going to bring my easel up so we can write these down.
Satisfactory things that were sent to your parents, or in my case, well, in most being cases, it would be their mother. But this was a school where boys that were there had at least one, well, their father particularly had died.
Okay.
No longer in the family.
Okay.
And then if you did something that required satisfactory notice to your parent, I mean, it went directly to your parent. Now, I lived in central Pennsylvania. My mother lived there, and I went to school in Philadelphia, so how they transmitted them, I'm not too sure, but if you didn't do anything...
Yeah, word got out.
Yeah,
so you got thumping twice. That's what you're telling me. I got that. I'm sure that happened in a lot of cases. There's some. Go ahead, Linda. Yeah, what else do you have? Thank you, Jean.
Everywhere we went was in a straight line.
Okay.
I mean, you had to walk. You would walk by the teacher, you know, to lunch or so forth.
You had to line up in a straight line and walk. Okay.
I wasn't sure at first. I wasn't catching on. Yeah, yeah. Walk in a straight line.
Yeah, Jim?
We started every day with a Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you. Okay. Not really rules, but yep.
Deadlines. Meet deadlines.
Yep. Do your homework.
Which was really the biggest deadline, right? Do your homework. Anything else?
Tardiness.
No tardiness. Anything else?
Dress code.
Yep, got a dress code. Kathy? What's that? No body contact.
They call that PDA now. Public displays of affection. Yes.
Giggling and telling jokes while the lesson's going on.
Okay, no jokes.
All right, you guys did a great job. Now, we're going to move on to the student edition of that. Would you come up here and hold that for me? All right. Student edition. This is you guys, the back and the top. Oh, you got something up there? Go ahead.
Middle schoolers get recess.
Middle schoolers get recess. What? How about we say everybody has recess? Everybody has recess. No. You're done. And if you do it again, I'm going to flick the lights on and off. All right, no. Stop. Walk that over there and circle that respect the teacher, whatever that is. What else? What else?
If we misbehave, we got cracked with a ruler.
No, no, this is you're writing the rules as a student. Yeah, yeah. No homework from the district superintendent of schools. No homework. I love it. What else? What? Naps. I love it. Does that come with milk? And milk and cookies. Yep. What else?
You don't have to go.
School's optional? From the head of payroll? What else? No, you're in the wrong. No, you're done. Usher, the next time this happens from these sections, you get rid of them. In the balcony, yes?
No punishment.
No punishment. Now we're talking. What else? Stephanie, you've got them all. What is it, girl?
You can go out for lunch instead of eating school food.
Okay. I was going to say something like have Pizza Hut move in or something, but that's all right. Go out for lunch. What else?
Walk the halls without a pass.
No hall pass needed. Sweet. Anything else? Yes. Say that again.
Cell phones and iPods at all times.
Okay. Cell phones and iPods, that's music, at all times. Excellent. I like it. Yeah, Dan.
Students should be able to take the bullies out back.
Students should be able to take the bullies out back. All right, anything else? Would it be wrong to say cheating's okay? I can tell I picked the right groups to do this. Yeah, anything else? Yes, Stephanie?
No.
You get to wait until you're ready to take a test. Can we just put tests are optional? All right. Tests are optional. Nice. Anything else?
Air-conditioned school bus.
Air-conditioned school bus from the bus driver. Would somebody put down you can chew gum on the bus too? Just to drive him crazy. Yes, Roger. No term papers. All right. We've run out of space. Give it to me. You're the last one.
We get money to go to school.
She said, we get paid to go to school. I love it. All right. Nice. Rob, would you hold this for me? I like this. Linda, I need you to come up here. Yeah, you. Didn't have any problems talking earlier, girl. Now you can come up here. Joel, come on. All right. We're going to talk in Galatians 3 about something, but I need you to understand a spiritual dynamic that Paul's talking about in this passage to get a sense of this. Because this is, he walks through some stuff and it's a little complicated. And here's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that along the way in life, you and I very early on know that there's rules in our home. And who makes the rules in our home? Mom and Dad do, right? But we decide very early on that we want to write, oops, I got it mixed up. Here's our own home, the teacher. We want to make our own rules, don't we? We want to make our own rules. Now, over time when you become an adult, some of these rules will change. You might realize the value of an education as you get older, and you might change some of these, but you come to realize that your rules are probably not going to be the same if you're the student, regardless of how old you are, as the teacher's rules. Or if you're at home as a child, your rules that you want to have are not going to be the same as your parents. Or if you're a human being, that your rules might not be the same as God's rules. And we discover that even as adults, we still want to make our own rules in life. We've grown up and we've matured and we've changed some of them, but we still want to write our own rules. And it's a spiritual crossroads when we realize that our rules are not the same as God's, and that in doing that, we've broken many of God's rules along the way. Would you agree with that so far? It's a spiritual crossroads when we see that and when we decide that we need someone to help us with this, because we can't keep all of God's rules. We can't. Now, when that happens, you begin to say, okay, I can't write my own rules. I need to follow God's way of doing things, and I will surrender my life to God, and I will allow that to happen, and I will start to follow God's rules. Now, in a classroom, the person who really runs things and creates the tone, sets the pace, allows the life of the class to really develop, is that the teacher or the rules? It's the teacher who then enforces or allows the rules to shape the way of life, isn't it? It's this person here. And this person becomes the person who sees the potential in the students, who helps them to rise up, who helps them to do all that kind of a thing. This is here to say, this is how we live together. But a good teacher begins to create structure in a way that allows for the rules eventually to recede to the background and only be used when someone occasionally breaks them. But after a while, students know they can't chew gum and stick it underneath their desk. It will probably always happen, won't it? You're not going to get rid of all of it. But the teacher's job is not primarily to keep kids from sticking gum underneath their desk, or to keep them from walking down a hall without a hall pass, or any of this other stuff. Their job primarily is to educate kids, to help them to grow, and to help them get along together. That's primarily their job, isn't it? This is a tool to help. And here's what Paul's going to tell us in our passage today. God gave us the law. And the law was a way of telling us what God's view of how to run the house was. And it's true, and it's all true. And it is different than what we would put down, no matter how old we are. And sometimes different than what we want to do. And our first spiritual challenge is to understand that God has put this here to show us how he thinks about things. And because this is God's world, not ours, who gets to set the rules? Hello. God does. He does. Now we can say, I'm going to do it my own way. And that's fine. To a point. Because when you're a parent and your child says, I'm going to do it my way, what do? I'll take that as the list of things that you can do. Right? So the next thing that God did was he gave the law, and he gave it to the Jewish people. Well, it's not actually the next thing. We'll talk about the next thing in a moment. The thing that he did after that was he gave them the law, and he said, here's how I want you to operate and to live together. but you're not going to be able to keep all this. Because when it comes to the rule that says don't throw sticks, don't hit each other, it's eventually going to happen. Boys are going to grab something and act like it's a stick or a sword, and they're going to hit each other, aren't they? They're going to do it. Right? And so it's going to happen. And the Bible says, Jesus is called the teacher, by the way. We use the image of camp counselor at the front porch. The Holy Spirit's also called the counselor. The role of God is to help shape us into a community and understand that God is to be in relationship with us to help us to learn and to grow and to create a healthy place for us to be. Most people see Christianity as this. Here's all the rules. This is Christianity. It's not. Christianity is God inviting us to be in relationship with Him and to create a healthy place for us to be. And this helps us to see what the healthy place is. And sometimes we end up focusing on this instead of this. Is this still here? Yes. But in a relationship, it's not like a teacher has to stand up, hopefully, every day and say, do not chew gum and do not stick it underneath your desk. After a few weeks, that should recede. It should fade into the background. And the real work of getting education done is what should come to the foreground. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us in this passage today. Because what started this whole process was that God gave a promise to his people, specifically to Abraham. And he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you big in the earth. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And eventually, through you, I'm going to send a Savior who will be there for all this. And Paul is going to argue that this promise to us is even more important than this law, because this promise is the basis upon which we trust God and have faith and have our relationship with Him. Thank you guys so much. Would you give them a hand? We're going to look through Galatians chapter 3 now. So Paul says this in Galatians 3 verse 21. Is the law, think the list that the teachers made, is the law opposed to the promises of God? In other words, when God came to both Abraham and later on to his people and promised Jesus, when those things happened, was it opposed to the rules that he gave? No, it was not. Absolutely not. For a law had been given, for if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would have certainly come by the law. In other words, classroom rules don't bring life to a classroom. They help provide boundaries. Makes sense. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. We've all broken God's rules. And what was promised, being given through faith in Christ Jesus, might be given to those who believe. So he's saying to us, what God did then was say, look, what I'm trying to do is bring to you a relationship with me, and I'm promising you certain things in light of that. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, because we couldn't keep it. Locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, to show us that we needed Jesus, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. We're under the supervision of Jesus himself. You are all sons or daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And remember I said a minute ago in communion that the reason why we can come to God without fear is because we have the righteousness of Christ with us. And that's why we can come. You are clothed with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, Abraham's descendant, and heirs according to the promise. God promised to Abraham that he would provide a way for there to be a great people. Now, here's what he's trying to say.
God came personally to Abraham and later on to the people of God through the prophets and said, I'm promising that I'm going to give you something. So on the one hand is this promise, and the promise ultimately was to be a people of God and that Jesus would come and redeem us. And on the other side was the law, which we just looked at. A law that we could not keep. And when we couldn't keep it, Paul says that pointed us back to the promise in which God said he would redeem us. And so the promise is key because a promise asks you to have faith. Now, I've given my children promises before. Maybe you've done this too. I said things like, I promise I'm going to play with you this afternoon. Have you ever done that? I promise I'm going to take you to this place. What a promise does is it calls someone to trust that you're going to keep your word. You have to have faith that they will do that. And that's what Paul is saying. God issued a promise. And when you trust in the God who made that promise, you're beginning something spiritual that's happening inside of you. When you trust what God says, when you trust what God has done in Christ, something powerful happens inside of you. I think this is the end of that passage, isn't it? And so, Paul, grabbing a hold of all this, says, I want you to get that your relationship with me is not based upon rules. Your relationship with me is based on an intimacy that comes because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And what he opened to you as a possibility before God. Now, all this comes and gels in one verse, which is in chapter 5. And it's my favorite verse of Scripture. Matter of fact, somebody asked me last summer if I would put on a quilt my favorite verse of Scripture. And Rich and I put the same verse. That was kind of funny. And that's Galatians 5:6. Now, the beginning of this verse may seem strange that you think that this is my favorite verse. Let me explain to you the context of this. Yeah, I know, it's funny. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. And here's what he's saying. In Jesus, your background before God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of family you come from or where your past comes from. None of that matters. The only thing that counts is faith in Christ expressing itself through love. And Paul is saying, let me get to the heart of what I want to tell you. Your relationship with God has a tenderness to it that is so powerful that God invites you to call him Daddy. And because he is God and he has the ability to invite you to call him Daddy, you're allowed to. You're allowed to. And you're invited into that kind of intimate relationship with God. And in that context, when you begin to trust in this God in that way, not as the God who stands up and says, look, here are the rules, and if you break that rule, I'm going to turn the lights off and on. That law is there to show us two things. Number one, how we mess up, and to point us to Jesus. And number two, that there are boundaries in our relationships, both of which are important. And the Bible says that Jesus does not get rid of the law. In fact, Jesus' work causes the law to fade to the background because we are constantly pulled toward Jesus and away from the boundaries that the law is talking about. And so he says, instead of focusing on our background or what we've done or what we haven't done, the only thing that counts is trusting that Jesus really is the connection to the Father, having faith in that promise and believing that. And then when you receive that into your life, there is a powerful thing that happens in that the Spirit of Christ fills you and you begin expressing your faith through love to others. And he says, this is the only thing that counts. Hello. Jesus said it a little different way, but the same thing. Someone came to him and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer was twofold. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is, he's saying, have faith in the one who gives you salvation, or love that God, and then love your neighbor as yourself, expressing that faith through love. Paul grabs that same passage of Scripture and sets it in a different tone for us to see. And it causes us to ask the question, What have we based our relationship with God on? Because there are some who at the end of their lives will say, they'll give me their list. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I went to Sunday school. I didn't do this. I didn't do this. I did this. And I say, you know, that's a good list. I mean, I'm glad that you did all that, but that's a list. I'm glad you followed the rules. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? When you meet him, will it seem like you guys have known each other for a while? Or will this be the first time you've ever met? And Jesus is offering not rules for us. They're there because every relationship has rules to it. But the rules aren't what the relationship is about. The relationship is about life and connection and wholeness and especially love. And that's the kind of thing that the God of the universe is offering to us. And so I think of that beautiful hymn in the garden. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Isn't that beautiful? And we come to the chorus. And the God of the universe who created the stars and the sun and everything else. And we sing, and he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other, no one else has ever known. You see, the Bible starts with this picture, Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. And the desire is to end with this picture, you and I walking in the garden with God. And that's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. Now, there are going to be mornings when you get up and say, I just don't feel like going to church. Right? And God will say, no, you need to get your behind out of bed, get dressed, and go. Not as a guilt trip, but because you'll find some of the things that you need will happen there. Not so that you can check it off on your attendance list. But God doesn't tell you that because he wants people who every Sunday get up and in a stupor go to church. He tells you that because he wants to meet you here just like he wants to meet you in your kitchen when you're making breakfast in the morning. And he doesn't want you to mistake the two things. It's a powerful, powerful deal to be connected to the living God. It will set you free from so many things. Christianity is not a religion of guilt. Christianity is a religion of grace, in which we understand that Jesus has done what we could not do. And because of that, we have the privilege of walking beside him. I don't know what our closing hymn is, but we should sing that, shouldn't we? Well, that's a good one too, but how about if we sing And He Walks With Me? Would you like that? What number is that in your hymnal? What number? 314. Now, y'all know the old joke about the kid who said that God's name was Andy, right? That's it. Would you stand? Let's sing it together.